a warm welcome to all of you who are gathering in together in this time to reflect on the word and work of God in all of our lives. I pray that you all had a wonderfully blessed Christmas season and that the good gifts and blessings continue in abundance for you throughout this new year. I invite us now to step into a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts and our minds for a time of reflecting on God's word. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Generous God, through this holiday season, we give you thanks for the greatest gift of all, your Son. Through him, you give us the faith we need when doubts creep in, hope when nights feel long and days feel empty, peace when the world feels overwhelming, and a love that never lets us go. As we gather in now around your word, open our hearts to receive again the gifts you so freely give to us. Lead us into the joy of your promises made flesh in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. And our reading today comes from the first chapter of Ephesians, beginning with the third verse. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and have believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance, towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord. So when I began reflecting on the call that I was feeling into various ministry work, I began praying about it and exploring options for seminary. And in doing so, I had conversations with various individuals who are in different ministry roles to see where I felt God was calling me into the church. And as I found myself talking with pastors, asking them about seminary and their education, the more I learned about it, the more I felt that that was the path that God was leading me down. But there was only one minor detail that continuously stressed me out. And for many years, seminaries required their students to take both Hebrew and Greek, to be able to translate and read the original texts of the Old and New Testament. But as somebody who knows I'm not good with learning other languages, the anxiety and the stress that learning this brought began to grow inside of me at the idea of needing to take both. But as I began applying to schools and going to Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary, the school had changed its curriculum and the students were only required to take one now. And so with that happy news, I settled in to take Greek. And as I signed up for the class, it felt as if God was answering another prayer of mine, because the professor who typically taught the class was going to be on sabbatical for the semester. So it then was taught by a different New Testament professor who hadn't taught the class in a couple of years. And so I found myself sitting through the biblical Greek class in seminary, and the format of the class took on a different image. Instead of learning how to speak and translate the Greek, we instead learned to use a translation platform to have the surface level to know how to make the translations and how those different things come to be instead of translating ourselves. But in this learning process in the Greek class, I did discover one fun fact that has stuck out with me. With both of the original texts, the Hebrew and the Greek were written without spaces or breaks. There were no punctuations or any of the ways that we write in our world today. And so when we think back to those who had to first start translating these texts, they had to write them into a way that we could understand in English today. So as we look at the way that the text is written, in just these first few verses of the chapter here, the original text would have had a whole reading, just one long continuous sentence of over 200 words. And if I think back to us trying to read that original Greek text, I think it would be very overwhelming. Everything that was said in our reading being said with no breaks or separation, no time for breathing in the text. And in our world today, as we speak in English, those times when we quickly read something or speak in rapid succession to make arguments or assertions or to bring questions forth in a way that overwhelms the person that we're talking to, we're engaging in a technique called gish galloping. And while many of us may not have heard of this gish galloping, we could likely be convinced that it's instead an aspect of a Dr. Seuss story, but many of us actually do experience it, and some of us even use it without knowing it. One of the places that I've seen this technique used is on the show Survivor during the tribal councils. With the combination of the limited time and council, the participants never know when Jeff will end the discussions, mixed with the pressure of attempting to convince their fellow competitors or jurors of who to vote for, and the ability to present just partial truths as being enough, the points they bring up do not need to have to be proven at that moment. They just need to seem plausible enough to convince the others in the votes. So as we look at Survivor and these tribal councils, we see many of them filled with examples of this gish galloping. When we look at the tribal councils, the classic arguments of they lied to me, they flipped already, they're unpredictable, they haven't contributed at camp, and if you keep them, you're rewarding their bad gameplay, is a perfect example of this tactic. Each claim in that sentence would take time for the person to unpack it all and to refute, and that's time that they don't have before the votes are cast. But then on the flip side of everything, silence on even just one of the points makes them feel true enough for the other players to believe the one who presented the argument over the one trying to defend themselves. And so we can see this practice being used in Survivor, but it's also noticeable in all parts of our lives, from political debates to work meetings to social media interactions, even back into our reading for today. If we attempted to read this passage from Ephesians as it was originally written, we'd find ourselves gish galloping and completely out of breath from the text. But as we hear this reading today, in a way that is easier for us to understand and hopefully a little bit less overwhelming to read, we hear Paul's words assuring us that God's plan is to bring everything together in unity. Paul reminds us that life in Christ draws us into the wholeness of creation. And while it seems like it would be an easy message to convey, as we try to capture that image from this text, the task can leave us feeling breathless, just as if we were trying to read the original text. From God giving us Jesus as the foundation of all that is holy and blameless, to Christ blessing us with every blessing in heaven. From God adopting us all through Christ, to the praises of grace that God freely gives to all. From the forgiveness of our trespasses, to the richness of grace that we are lavished with. From the wisdom and insight that God has made known to us as the plan to gather all things into Christ. from the inheritance that we have obtained to the purpose that we are called into, from our hope first set on glory to the ways that we live praising this glory, from the ways that we hear the word of truth in the gospel of salvation to being sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, from the pledge of our inheritance towards the redemption of God as the chosen to our praises of God's glory. Are you feeling overwhelmed trying to hear all of these things that are promised to you yet? If this was an argument of faith that was presented at a final tribal council of our faith, could you begin explaining how we've done all of these things in your life? While we may not have much of an idea of where to start hearing all this today, we can feel some comfort in knowing that the ones that Paul would have written this to would also be overwhelmed by the vast scope of the ministry that's used in this text. But as we begin unpacking all that this text tells us, we hear a message of praise throughout. In all of his letters to the various churches that Paul was a part of, he uses this word of praise 11 times, three of which appear in our text for today. The first appears in verse 6, where we are encouraged to praise the grace of God, which was given to all of us in Jesus Christ. The next in verse 12, where we are told to praise the inheritance we receive through all that Christ does for us. And finally, again, in the last verse 14, we hear again a proposed praise for the marking, sealing, and promise of the Holy Spirit on us all. And as we gather together today, still in this Christmas season, we celebrate the gift that Christ is for us in our lives. We know all that he will do throughout his life and ministry, the healing he does for those around him who others have pushed away, the miracles that he performed showing us the true power of God, the gathering in of people together showing us how to love one another, eventually going to die for us so that one day we all will be saved through him. And while we may not be able to do all of these things in our lives in the same way that Jesus had so perfectly, we still sing our praises for the grace that we receive in our imperfections through the Holy Spirit. In our faith, God provides us with more grace and love and forgiveness and blessings than we deserve. Jesus continuously brings the gift of blessing into all of our lives. The Holy Spirit guides us and remains with us as we do our best to be the work and the voice and the love of God in our world today, in the church and those beyond the walls of the church. And for that and more, we are called to share our praises. So while it can be overwhelming to capture and to honor all that God has done and continues to do for us in our lives, let us go from this place in praise. Amongst all the gish galloping of our lives, God teaches us how to praise all of our days, to praise all of our blessings, and to praise everyone in the life of Christ. Amen. Join me again in a word of prayer. We pray for the church, all of creation, and the whole people of God. All-powerful God, we pray for the whole church as we rejoice in the promised arrival of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you to continue holding us in your promises of love and forgiveness and blessing, so that we may rejoice as the church in this hectic world. Guide us through the work of Jesus with us to be your blessings in the lives of all of those around us, both inside and outside of the church. Creator God, we rejoice in all aspects of your grand creation. We give you thanks for all the ways that you tended to, nourished, blessed, and rejuvenated your good creation this past year. We pray that you continue to protect and comfort all animals and habitats as the world causes changes to their homes. Guide us into having a healing, restorative touch on destruction caused to all of the blessings you bestow upon us. Protecting God, we pray for the whole family of Christ. We ask you to comfort those who feel alone or grieve at the start of this new year, that you heal those who are sick, that you let your love be felt in those who feel unworthy and unloved. Teach us to be more like your Son, inviting in the outcast, getting to know the stranger, leaving healing in all that we touch, and learning to love all of our neighbors. We trust in your promises to us and celebrate all of the blessings you give to us through your Son. And we pray all of these prayers and the silent ones of our heart in your holy name. Amen. Let us go out into the world in peace and love, being the blessing that God gives to others in our lives.